So the first speaker is Carla Cattadori from Milano. Then we talk about the result of GNU and more in general radiochemical neutrino experiment on the
yes.
sun.
So, good morning. As you see from my title, I will focus on the results from solar neutrino experiments, from solar neutrino radiochemical experiment, and with main emphasis on gallium experiment. Here is the layout of my talk. After a few generalities about solar neutrino and radiochemical experiments, I will review the results of the chlorine, SAGE, and GALAX-GNU experiment. Then I will address the impact of this result on neutrino physics, on astrophysics. Then I will list some technological results. And then I will address the question if precision measurements are possible with radiochemical experiments, and finally my conclusions. So, as everybody knows, radiochemical experiments are providing since more than 40 years the measurement of the neutrino capture rate at Earth, of the electron neutrino capture rate at Earth coming from the Sun. The first experiment was the chlorine and started 22 years after the Pontecorvo idea to exploit the neutrino capture reaction on nuclei to detect solar neutrinos. The data that this experiment provided were of invaluable importance to determine both the neutrino oscillation parameter and for solar astrophysics. Nowadays, in the snow plus Camland era, their role is changed, of course, having almost no weight in the neutrino oscillation parameters determination because they are represented in global analysis just by three values over 94, 108, depends on the analysis you perform. They are still the only experiment that have detected sub-MeV neutrino from the Sun, electron neutrino from the Sun, beryllium 7 MPP, and therefore they are the experimental verification at low energy of solar models convoluted with this neutrino oscillation mechanism. Nowadays, in the neutrino communities, it's difficult for me to speak about the result of this experiment here in this conference because radiochemical experiments are considered like turtles, protected ancient animals. And they are slow, like turtles, low statistic experiment. They are sensitive only to electron neutrino. They measure only one quantity, slowly, the integral solar neutrino interaction rate, given a certain frequency sampling, and they do not measure the spectrum or the incoming direction of solar neutrino. And the common opinion is that having reached a statistical accuracy almost equal to their systematic accuracy, they have almost accomplished their role. Here in this slide, you just see what is the how the interaction rate detected by the, which is the quantity measured by solar neutrino, is related to the flux, to the survival probability of the electron neutrino, and to the cross section of this reaction. And why this new solar neutrino unit are adopted in this experiment? I remember that one solar neutrino unit is represent one interaction per second each 10 to the 36 target atoms. It is obvious that to have useful experiments, so to have at least one neutrino interaction per day, you have to expose target with 10 to the 29, 10 to the 30 nuclei, namely 10, 100 tons of target, depending on the cross-section you have and on the threshold you have. So the pioneer experiment was the chlorine experiment. The threshold was 813 keV. It was sensitive almost to boron 8 and beryllium 7 neutrino. And the target they chose was chlorine 37, going to argon 37, and the neutrino interaction was detecting the decay of chlorine 37 back via electron capture, mainly on K shelf, back to chlorine 37. So in this box, you see what is the prevision of the solar model. And I say since the beginning that I adopt the Bacol Pinsonneau solar model, in which the new information from the Luna experiment on the measurement of the astrophysical S factor for the neutron proton, for the proton or nitrogen cross section, the new value measured by the Luna experiment. So the expectation for using this model, I will give later the detail, is 3.23 plus or minus 0.68, one sigma, and the expected signal without oscillation is 8.2 SNU. You see they exposed 600 tons of target, and they performed hot chemistry check, and they took data between 1964 and 1994. The useful data set they use at the end is from 1970 up to 1994, namely 24 years, for a total of 108 runs. They didn't perform calibration with neutrino source, but they performed hot chemistry check with chlorine 36. So the results they got is 2.56 plus or minus 0.23 combined statistical and systematic accuracy. And of course, it was the first measurement of solar neutrino interaction rate, raised the problem of missing neutrino, opened the field of research that not yet closed, and Davis was awarded in 2002 with a Nobel Prize, together with Kosciba and Giacconi, for pioneering contributions to astrophysics, and in particular for detection of cosmic neutrino. One relevant point is that they checked the constancy of the solar neutrino flux over 23 years, because after many speculation and investigation, they didn't find any correlation between the neutrino capture rate and the solar cycles. Many speculation, I remember, was done on this item in the 90s. Now let's go to the gallium experiment, which are the main topic of my talk. Here are the logo of the three experiment, namely these three experiment, two experiment, because one is SAGE, Russian-America gallium experiment, the other one is GALAX, that in the second part of his life changed name to GNO. Also the collaboration was a restricted collaboration of the GALAX starting collaboration. Here you see in this table the collaboration of GALAX GNO, the collaboration of SAGE and Baxan, and GALAX GNO are located at Gran Sasso National Laboratory in Italy. Here is the capture reaction on gallium 71 leading to germanium 71. And you see the main difference between the experiment is the physical state of the target, because in GALAX it is a liquid solution of gallium trichloride in HCl in water solution, and the total target, gallium target is 30 tons, and in SAGE they adopt metallic gallium and they have 50 tons. The exposure time for this experiment is variable between 3 and 4 weeks. The data taking is similar for this experiment, starting from 1991 up to 2003, but I have to say that GNO is a stop, is a finished experiment, as for environmental and an environmentalist also reason, it has been stopped to allow civil works in the All A of Gran Sasso National Laboratory. Okay, here is again listed the presented the interaction of neutrino on gallium, and here is the expected rate using these models. So Bacal Pinsonneau 04 plus new information from the Luna experiment, which basically reduced to the half the contribution of the CNO cycle to the neutrino luminosity from the sun. So you see that this is the expected signal when oscillation are included, and this is the signal 127 SNU when no oscillation are included. I just want to remember that this corresponds to 0.6 neutrino interaction per day in GNO, almost one in SAGE, but due to decay during exposure plus an efficiency, an average of 4.75 germanium 71 decay are detected per extraction for an exposure time of 28 days. here are the new updated results for the experiments. You see the statistic is almost similar. Galaxy GNO, we have 123 runs, Sage has 121 runs, and this is the final result for Galaxy GNO, 69.3 plus or minus 5.5, combine the statistical and the systematics, and this is the final result, the new, very new result, because Gavrin sent me this result a few days ago, updated from Sage, 66.9 plus 5.3 minus 5.5. When you combine this value, you get 68.1 plus or minus 3.75. So now Gallium experiment has reached a 5.5% accuracy. You see that also the important test that this experiment has performed to validate the result and their procedures. So Galaxy GNO has performed source calibration with chromium 51 source twice, and hot chemistry check spiking the solution with arsenic 71. And Sage has performed an irradiation with chromium 51 and is performing in these days an irradiation with argon 37 neutrino source, artificial argon 37 neutrino source. It's a beautiful work they are doing now, and more detail you will see in the poster session. So this is just what we call the Davis plot. That's just the single run result versus time. This is for Sage, and this is the L, K. We usually give both the result, both combining L and K, the result coming from detection of L event and K events, and combining them together. This is for Sage, 14 years of data taking 121 runs. This is for Galaxy GNO. Here is sketched the two chromium, this red line are the two chromium source experiment, and the blue line is the arsenic 71 experiment. And for Galaxy and GNO, we present data usually in this form, giving both the separate values for Galaxy and for GNO, and then also combining them together. So you see that Galaxy has 77.5 plus or minus 6.2 plus or minus 4.5, and GNO 62.9 plus 5.5 minus 5.3 plus or minus 2.5. So you see that we were able to half the systematic error going from Galaxy to a GNO, improving many experimental details. You see that the signal is well balanced between the L and the K window. So we detect both L events, 1 keV events from the germanium decay, and K events, which is 10 keV events from the germanium decay. So you can see that the signal is well balanced in the windows. So within 1 sigma, events are equally distributed between L and K window, as expected from counting efficiency. The signal is validated from both for Sage and Galaxy GNO by event energy distribution, and what is important is that no other peaks appear in the spectrum, so we really detect germanium 71 decay, and also by the event time distribution. When you apply the maximum likelihood analysis, where the null hypothesis is to have one decaying isotope plus flat background, independent flat background per each run, you get this shape of the time distribution of the events. And the fitted lifetime of the decaying isotope you get is from the fit is 16.6 plus or minus 2.1 days. And the real lifetime of germanium 76 is 16.5 days. Then we have performed several studies of the seasonal, of the time modulation of the signal. And we have negative evidence for any time modulation of the signal. Here are presented for Galaxy GNO. Seasonal variational analysis, bimonthly binning the whole data set. Here is the perihelion, here is the aphelion, and we are consistent with a flat distribution. And so we don't observe any difference between winter and summer, and I want to remember that from the 1 over D square, you would expect plus 2.5 SNU, and we found a deficit of minus 10 plus or minus 11 SNU, both in GNO only and GNO and Galax. This data is included in the analysis by Fogli and Lisi. And no excess is found, as expected from a large mixing angle solution. SAGE does a similar survey of time modulation, but do not find modulation, meaning the whole data set either monthly, bimonthly, or yearly. Then we have also looked for time modulation from higher frequency time modulation, because following a claim from Starock and Caldwell, a significant peak appeared in the periodogram plot of Galax data. We have performed a similar analysis, so applying a Lomb-Skargol analysis, which is a Fourier analysis for data not equally spaced in time, but we have not found, we have reproduced the same periodogram, but the statistical significance of their claim, we don't find. There are really order of magnitude difference in statistical significance, and so we can exclude from our data all this region. So we can rule out modulation frequency less than 12 years to the minus 1 and amplitude greater, larger of 40% of the signal. I want to notice that the capture rate published by both experiments has monotonically decreased in the last 5-6 years. And this is an important point we have to address in both collaborations. Here are the value published by the collaboration in at the end of the 90s, and here are the value published by the collaboration nowadays. This value is published by GNO. This value is just guessed by taking this value and this value. Okay, so my point is that this table I show you and this decreasing of the neutrino capture rate that happened in the last 6-7 years means that it has been of crucial importance to proceed with the data taking so long that the rate of the capture rate on gallium published by both experiments has monotonically decreased in the last 6-7 years. The statistical significance of the decrease in each experiment is low, but the joint probability is not so low. So given the relevance that the gallium capture rate has and will have once the beryllium 7 flux will be available for Borexin from Borexin or Camland, it is important that both collaborations investigate once more, if necessary, to select a golden data set, which is always a difficult and dangerous action, and then perform a joint analysis to provide their joint best evaluation of RNU on gallium. But of course, there is quite a lot of debate in the collaboration about this item. I just want to say that the experiment has been calibrated with intense neutrino source. This is the result. This is the result, the capture rate measured during the exposure at the neutrino source is 0.93 plus or minus 0.07, the expected rate using the theoretical calculated cross-section. These are the intensity of the source used. And that SAGE is irradiating with the argon 37 source now the apparatus, and this is very important because the energy of argon source is greater than energy of the neutrino from the chromium source, so they can test more deeply the contribution of the second excited state to the cross section, to the total cross section for the neutrino capture rate. Of course, this experiment, this measurement of the neutrino capture rate, is valid only once you have determined that you don't have hot chemistry effect, and that your efficiency is 100%. Is 100%. You know your efficiency 100%. So this has been proved in Galax, spiking the detector with order 10,000 atoms per second, 71, and we have demonstrated that the recovering efficiency, the gas processing efficiency, is 100% within 1% error. The impact of gallium experimental result on neutrino oscillation parameter is almost irrelevant with the actual experimental accuracy and in the actual experimental scenario. Here you see what you can get from gallium and chlorine rate just from this experiment on the parameter plane. So you see that the sensitivity is very poor. But gallium experiments are more sensitive to tangent square theta 1,2 than to delta m square, of course. I will go, as the time is almost finished, I will go to the most important result that we have now, that is the impact of gallium result on astrophysics. You see that, but I hope that Sylvain Trucchese will address deeply, more deeply the point. The solar model has changed this year quite a lot in the boron sector. We have a 20% increase, almost not 18% increase, because this cross-section has been measured with increased accuracy, new information. And we have also this news from the Luna experiment that the press of the ALF, the flux of the CNO neutrino relative to the previous model we had. This is a decrease of almost half. Why this is relevant? This is relevant because, first of all, you can notice that both for boron and for beryllium neutrino, the expectation value, the discard from the experimental and the expectation value are increased compared to the model, to the previous model. And for gallium experiment, you have not so big difference because, of course, we are less sensitive in percentage to CNO neutrino, more to PP. But gallium experiment is very sensitive to, almost sensitive, for SNU difference sensitive, depending on the parameter, oscillation parameter space, oscillation parameter value you take. This is 7.1, 0.45. Are the best fit point to all solar plus Kamlan data, where you have the boron 8 flux free and the other fluxes from Bakalpin Sonol 00. And the other value here is the best fit point at all solar plus Kamlan data with all new fluxes free and the luminosity constraint. So this is if you want, our reference value now, Bakalpin Sonol plus new information of the nitrogen 14 cross-section, and so 69.3 plus or minus 5.3, which has to be compared with 68.1, which is the combined value from SAGE and Galax Geno. To summarize the previous table, neutrinos prefer a sun having low metallicity solar interior, as the recent photospheric measurement indicate. When these data are included in the standard solar model, there is tension with the heliosismology, as the depth of the convective zone goes to 0.726 radius of the sun instead of the measured value by heliosismology, which is 0.713, namely an 18% discrepancy. Last point is the estimate from gallium experimental results of the CNO flux, imposing the luminosity constraint. Here the assumption is that the nuclear fusion reaction are the only source of energy in the sun. This is the total energy, and alpha E are the coefficient of which relate the energy emitted in photons per emitted neutrino. So now if you know from the experiment the rate, the total rate on gallium, and then
if you apply the luminosity constraint, and if you take boron 8 from experiments, beryllium 7 is the only parameter you take from standard solar model, then you relate PAP neutrino to PP, and you look at this ratio, luminosity and CNO versus luminosity, total luminosity of sun, you get this plot. And this is, I think, our best result from gallium experiment. You see here in this plot, you have the luminosity, the ratio of the luminosity, CNO luminosity versus the total luminosity of the sun. Important here, we take already the solar model called N14 using the Bacol nomenclature. So this take already into account that the CNO cycle contribution in the new model is now the half compared to the old model, Bacalpinson 00 and also to Bacalpinson 04. So you see that 69.3, which is the combined value for GNO plus Galax, but 68 is the combined value taking into account SAGE result, which I received only a few days ago, so I couldn't repeat this plot. So you see that for our rate, measured rate, the best fit point on the axis LCNO versus LSun is 1.2, which is there is a fantastic agreement with the new solar model, including the lunar results. So this is summarized here. So the ratio of the CNO luminosity versus the total luminosity of the sun, if you take GNO and Galax data, which I call G plus G, is 1.2 plus 2.3 minus 1.2. The luminosity foreseen from the solar model called N14, which is 0.6 the Bacalpinson 04 model. If you now include SAGE, you are at 1. Of course, I cannot evaluate by high the error, but basically you go putting the SAGE data, combining all together, as the error is 3.7 instead of 5.5 nu. This two sigma error here, it will be the 3 sigma error, so the constraint is larger. So you see that we have a fantastic agreement for the luminosity of the CNO luminosity of the sun versus the total luminosity with the new solar model and the new luna data, and we can constrain the total luminosity of CNO cycle in the sun, including SAGE plus Galax and GNO, to 5-6% at 3 sigma. Finally, there is a fantastic agreement between the measured, when you go back from the result of the gallium interaction rate, you go back to the fluxes, you have a fantastic agreement with this value with the Bacalpinson plus N14 model. To conclude, radiochemical experiments have provided along the last 40 years measurement of solar neutrino interaction rate on chlorine 37 on gallium 71. They confirm at sub-MeV energies the neutrino oscillation scenario in the standard solar model. The updated value for the neutrino capture rate on gallium is 68.1 plus or minus 3.7 from 244 Galax plus GNO plus SAGE runs. Gallium experiments have demonstrated to be reliable and have been calibrated with high-intensity neutrino sources, and chlorine and gallium experiment has experimentally excluded hot chemistry effects. No time modulation, seasonal, monthly, bimonthly, yearly, have been found, and with the actual accuracy we can state that the neutrino flux is constant. Taking this flux for beryllium 8, and this flux for beryllium 7, and imposing the luminosity constraint, we have, I think, a very good result on the experimental result on the luminosity, on the ratio of the luminosity in CNO cycle versus luminosity of the sun from the gallium experiment, and also a fantastic agreement with the new standard solar model in the PP flux, neutrino flux. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. We might have still time for a couple of questions. Yeah. There are two there.
You showed that there's this slow, is it statistically significant or not, decrease in the flux with time, but that you didn't say for the combined experiments what the probability of that is. And then you seem to just not believe it and reject it, and in fact even conclude that you see no time variation. Isn't that a bit strong?
No, the point is the following, that statistically in each experiment the significance of this decrease is low. And it's low because the error bars are quite large. So now the point is to take together this decrease and to understand if given the technique adopted, there is something that in the systematic, in the unknown background, for example, for instance, that has changed along the time. But you see, this is a very delicate operation, because this investigation already happened. So a part of this decrease is due, but a small fraction of this decrease in time in each experiment is due to reevaluation, for example, of counting efficiency, gas processing efficiency, and so on. This is a part of this decrease, and this is understood. The rest is just like that. Data are like that for both experiments. And we are doing now, we started a few months ago, a joint analysis of all this data set, really to understand deeply what is inside this data, if there are systematic that, even if we look deeply already in Galles, in Genoa, in SAGE, that we didn't understand. Because, of course, it's different. This value, this total capture rate is so important that it's different if it would be 62 or if it would be 66, even the central value. But it's a very delicate work to exclude some data set.
Okay.
We are doing that.
Okay, let's listen to the next question.
Yes. So the first small question was essentially the same that you already asked. And then another one. The data of Galles GNO are in very good agreement with the one of SAGE, essentially.
Yes.
Is there any significant systematic difference that can create problem in putting together the data of the two experiments?
This is the reason also, because this has not yet happened, and we are trying to do it now. So, in principle, if the systematics are well known and are completely under control in both experiments, It is easy. You combine using the usual statistical procedure, okay. And that's all.
It's the same question.
If I have to answer also correctly and honestly, I have to say that this communication between the two collaborations is improving in the last time. But for many years of data taking and work, it's true that the communication between the two collaborations, the human factor was not playing a good role in that. So,
okay, it's the same question. We take the last question.
Look, this is to answer the question of the statistical, your question.
Yeah, but we are running out of time.
It's not a question, it's just a comment. I really think that it's really unfortunate that this decision to stop GNO was taken not really on scientific ground, because as Carla explained, it's one of the few experiments which were able to monitor the PP flux, and I think the economics was so that the people were wishing to continue this. So I really think it's not a very good scientific decision, not at all.
Okay.
This was the Galax sensitivity in this game of flux CNO versus the luminosity of the sun. This is the theoretical error bar, and this was the experimental contour area of Galax.
No, but look, we are running out of time.
This is for the GNO. Galax plus GNO. So you see that going on in this sector of the CNO, of the CNO luminosity, is taking a role. This is the prediction, theoretical prediction. This is the experimental.
Okay, thank you, Carla, again.
Okay.